Welcome to the Frictionless Innkeeper podcast series. Our show is brought to you by the Frictionless Guest app, which allows innkeepers to provide guests with their recommendations of the best local places to eat, play, and shop during their stay. The Frictionless Guest app is accessible through all mobile and desktop devices, and you can learn more about it by visiting frictionlessguest.com. Once again, that's frictionlessguest.com. I'm Matt Langan, and I'll be joined by Steve Short, the founder and CEO of the Frictionless Guest app. And today we're speaking with Peter McLaren, who is the owner and operator of the West Hill House B&B in Warren, Vermont. Peter and his wife, Susan, were recently named the Innkeeper of the Year by the Vermont Chamber of Commerce. He will be sharing with us his innkeeper story, his perspective on pleasing the guests, his green approach to managing his property, and much, much more. And Peter and Steve, how are you both doing today?
Doing really well. Appreciate the opportunity to talk with you both.
Excellent. Great. Steve, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Matt. Thanks a lot. And I appreciate Peter joining us as well.
Yeah, likewise. And that's the perfect jumping off point there. Let's pivot over to Peter. And Peter, let's start at the top, if you don't mind. And please tell us a little bit more about the West Hill House B&B and how you and your wife, Susan, really came about to be innkeepers.
Well, it's an interesting story because I always say that Susan's dreamed of being an innkeeper ever since she was about 3 years old. I think she thinks it may have been a few years after that, but it's certainly always been in her DNA. And so as we got close to the point where I was able to think about taking early retirement, we started thinking about it fairly seriously. And Susan then spent a lot of time researching it after she got me on board. And we then started looking at properties. And the interesting aspect of this is between Susan and myself, we've got multiple nationalities. And we really considered a lot of different countries as well as a lot of different places. And we eventually settled on the U.S. Northeast. It's a climate that gives opportunities for guests to do neat things year-round. It's a lovely place to live. And so we decided to look for B&Bs. And we spent literally 15 months, a year and 3 months, looking at properties for sale, both in New Hampshire and in Vermont. And the 49th one we visited was West Hill House B&B. And as soon as we saw it, we saw this is the place for us. It's beautifully located next to Sugar Bear Ski Area. It's in a quiet little back road. It was recently modernized, eight guest rooms at the time with nice bathrooms, lots of common space. So that's how we came to West Hill House B&B. So we discovered it in December of 2005, totally snowed in. We were shown all kinds of neat photographs of what it looked like in the summertime with the beautiful gardens, which indeed it has. We took that on faith and we closed the deal and started operating our B&B in April of 2006. So it's been 13 years.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. You touched upon a little bit about the property. And if you don't mind, tell us a little bit more about the property itself.
Well, we're in Warren, Vermont, and Warren is probably most noted for the Sugar Bush ski area, which is one of the top ski areas in the Northeast. We're just 1 mile from the base there, and we do have a complimentary shuttle bus in the wintertime, which is quite neat. But in terms of the property itself, it's an 1850s Vermont farmhouse, one of the old farms that was on the hillside, which are generally disappeared as farms after the Second World War. And many of the properties were then repurposed. And the property here, West Hill House, was repurposed into a private residence for a number of years. And then the owners at that point in the 1970s started operating as a B&B, still as a four-room farmhouse. And the history then evolved to the 1990s when our predecessors bought it and totally transformed the property. So while it still looks very much the same from the road, they extended it significantly to the back of the house and also added nice bathrooms to all the rooms in the process. So we now have 8 very comfortable, spacious guest rooms with accompanying private bathrooms in each. And we have a lot of common space, which is one of the things that makes the property both unique and also surprising for many of our guests when they walk in and realize that we've got a beautiful big sunroom with glass all around it. We've got a beautiful big living room with a stone fireplace, a beautiful library with about 1,000 books. But probably of more interest to our guests, it's also got a pool table. So it's got a lot of space and very much enjoyed by our guests. And just across West Hill Road from us is our event barn, which we call the Handsome Red Barn, as there are lots of red barns in Vermont. We need an adjective to differentiate it. And in the barn, it's heated, insulated. We can have events there for up to 50 people year round. And it also has its own apartment suite, which is the 9th guest suite that we added, in fact, when we continued the evolution of the barn, which had just been built in 2003, shortly before we bought the property. So we have an extra guest suite there with its own kitchen. So that describes the property. It's on about 9 acres of ground. Around the house, there's about 2 acres of gardens and 4 ornamental ponds. and the rest of it is the forests of the Green Mountains.
Oh, that's fantastic. Sounds like a wonderful property. And that's a great segue into my next question, because you all were recently named the Innkeeper of the Year by the Vermont Chamber of Commerce. And tell us about how that came about. And that's a really big deal, because there are a lot of B&Bs in Vermont.
Yes, there are. And the award, in fact, covered hotels, inns, B&Bs. So probably could have been any of about 400 plus people that were selected. I'm certainly very humbled to have been picked out from that group and joined a group of very distinguished peers who have won the award in the past. And I was quite surprised to have been nominated and even more surprised to have been selected. So it was certainly a great honor, as you say. I think there were two reasons for the nomination to be accepted. Is number one, clearly our guests do seem to love us here at Westerhouse B&B. And that's a great tribute to Susan, because she really manages the whole hospitality experience here at the B&B. We get excellent reviews on TripAdvisor and Google. We're usually ranked number one in this area. The 22 or 23 B&Bs in the Madera Valley have been almost consistently for 5 years. We're usually in the top 10 on TripAdvisor in all of Vermont. So these are fairly good recognitions, I think, from our guests that they enjoy the experience. But I think what makes it special from our point of view is we really enjoy having our guests here, and we enjoy the recognition that comes with this. But there was another part to it as well, which is that the award is also for someone that's contributed to the innkeeping community within Vermont. And I've been quite active. I'm currently the chair of our local Chamber of Commerce. I'm involved in our local Madera Valley Planning Steering Committee, which looks after a lot of planning and coordination activities for the three towns that make up the Madera Valley all around Sugarbush. And I've also been quite active at the Vermont level in terms of some of the lobbying for issues that impact innkeeping. So I think for all of these reasons, I was selected as this year's recipient, and as I said, very humbled and honored to have been so.
Outstanding. That's great. Steve, I was going to pass the baton to you, my friend.
I was just waiting with bated breath, Matt. So, Peter, I think we're always interested. I guess we're biased. We have a bias toward, you know, the guest experience because of our app. We like to ask, you know, how you would define guest experience. And obviously, it's got to be a big focus for you in order to have won this award. I'm sure you have done other things to deserve it in terms of your time spent volunteering with various organizations. But, you know, you have to have done a great job. And like you said, with various ratings, they're always way up there. So I'm sure you focus a lot on guest experience. So first question, I guess two parts. How would you define that? What is guest experience in your mind? And then also, what do you do that is kind of unique for guests and to enhance that experience?
Good question. And I would say that guest experience falls into two different parts of the stay at the B&B. And I think most people understand having a property which is comfortable, which is well-maintained, which has the amenities that guests expect, and some perhaps are surprised by the fact that we have, is a key part of that. They want to be comfortable. They want to enjoy those aspects of their stay. And I think everybody recognizes that. Not everybody necessarily does a great job at it, but we certainly try and make sure that everything a guest expects to have is here on the property when they arrive. But the second part, which I think is perhaps maybe secret sauce, as you called it, is the interaction with us. And we really see that as the hospitality part, the interaction with the hosts. And we really try, and we, in fact, we don't just try, we do. We treat our guests as our personal guests when they're here. We treat them, we don't try and get in their face too much if they want to have some privacy. But we're always here for them. We enjoy talking with them. One of the things which not many properties do, we understand it's maybe about 20% of properties. We do have a single breakfast where all of our guests sit around the same table, unless we have even more guests, in which case we have two tables. But the point is the guests all sit together at breakfast. And that is an interesting part of the experience because people share ideas about what to do while they're here. They share other experiences that they've had. I usually get a chance to sit down with our guests during breakfast. Susan's busy in the kitchen, but I serve and I usually sit down between courses and talk to them about those same kind of things, things they can do, things that I've done, things they might be interested in. And I try to avoid boring them, but usually works fairly well. And we find that that is often commented on as the highlight of the guest experience here at West Hill House B&B. It does come with trade-offs. The trade-off is if you're all going to breakfast together, you're all going to have breakfast at the same time. And some guests like flexibility from that point of view. And we realize that's a trade-off, but we make it clear up front to our guests that this is the way we operate. And even those that are perhaps a little bit skeptical before they arrive, I think at the end say, wow, it was just great talking to your other guests and talking to you over breakfast. So I think it's that hospitality aspect, which is important, the interaction with our guests. And in many ways, even if something isn't perfect in terms of the room or perfect in terms of some other aspect of the stay, which obviously we try to avoid, but even if that's the case, I think it's put into context by the overall hospitality experience that we provide personally.
And when you talk to them about what to do, I mean, how it's a destination place, right? I mean, because of skiing and other things to do in the area. So if they know where they're going to go skiing, for example, that's a big part of their day. What about other things in the area? What are they generally looking for? What kind of information do they get from you in terms of, I guess, kind of insider local information about things to do and where to go and that sort of thing?
It certainly is different by the two major seasons, as in winter and summer. Obviously, the vast majority of our guests come in the wintertime to ski. So from there, basically, we need to tell them how to get on the bus or where to go if they haven't made the Sugar Bush before. And then most of what we then discuss with them are restaurant opportunities in the evening. So that's one of the things where insider knowledge can be really useful, because we have a lot of restaurants and most of them are really great. And we can ask guests what they're interested in. We have menu information here in the B&B. So we can go over those and make reservations as required for guests. So we usually try and do that in the morning before they go out, so that when they come back in the evening, they've got their plans already made. The other thing we do year round is make sure that our guests are aware of some of the unique things in this immediate area. One of the things Vermont has become very well known for in recent years is beer. We have amazing craft beer here in Vermont. In fact, Vermont, and this is an accurate statement, has more craft breweries per capita than any other state in the U.S. It's a big thing here. And a lot of guests want to experience Vermont beer. And we're very fortunate that just last year, Lawson's Finest Liquids expanded significantly by opening a brewery which people can actually visit, and a beautiful tap room where they can taste all the different varieties of Lawson's beer. So we always encourage our guests to go down and check that out. And one of the second things that Vermont is known for is cheese. We have tremendous varieties of cheese. There's something like about 66 or 68 different cheese makers in Vermont. And we're very fortunate to have a place in the Madre Valley called The Taste Place, where guests can go down and taste samples of virtually all of those cheesemakers' cheeses, and incidentally, also check out local wine, beer, and spirits as well, and a bunch of other things. So we make sure our guests know about these things, because very often, if they're just here to ski, unless we introduce those nice features of the valley to them, they wouldn't know about it. And of course, there's many arts and craft stores here as well. And there, in the summertime, a lot of guests are here to check out the local arts and crafts, check out antiques, take day trips to explore waterfalls or cover bridges, or of course to go hiking. And we're right beside the Long Trail, which goes north to south or south to north in Vermont. And there's some really nice walks close to the B&B on the Long Trail where you can get some great views and really enjoy a day's outing. There's also kayaking, there's also rafting, there's also paddleboarding. So all the kinds of neat summer activities as well. And again, we make sure our guests are aware of these before they come, offer to make arrangements if those are required, and try and make the stay as seamless as possible while giving our guests the broadest opportunity for experiences that they're interested in.
Excellent. Yeah, it's very concierge-like, I guess you would say.
Yes, we specifically call it the concierge service. We use that term on our website, that's included.
Okay, good deal. Also, you're kind of unique in that your property, well, you take a green approach to the business. Is that right?
Yes, it's a very interesting combination of things that led to this. Number one is Vermont. When we came to Vermont, we got quite inspired by how passionate many of the people who live here are about using energy efficiently, about renewable resources, about recycling, composting, and so on. And I must admit, it's something that we hadn't thought a great deal about before. We'd always been focused to recycle, but the rest of it was somewhat new. And then the second thing is, I'm an engineer, I'm an electrical engineer. So I saw all kinds of interesting ideas as to how we could take advantage of trying to be green and do some of these neat things. And probably the most significant, which actually only happened about three and a half years ago, because it really wasn't that cost effective for us before then, is we're now 100% solar power. That's where I really got my engineering passion going, particularly as it's a rather different arrangement than what most people are familiar with. Our solar panels are actually 65 miles from where we are in a beautiful south-facing field. It's actually a shared array with a number of other businesses and residences, and we own just under 30% of the panels there. And the way it works here in Vermont with Green Mountain Power is we get a credit for the power we generate there to offset our bill up here at Westall House B&B. And we've basically got enough capacity to roughly zero out our electricity bill. So that's the most significant, but also perhaps the most invisible because the panels are not here. But early on, for example, we use a different kind of solar panels to heat our hot water in the summertime and a little bit in the wintertime as well. From the environmental point of view, one of the things that Susan has really taken a lot of interest in is using non-commercial cleaning fluids. So she, for example, cleans, amazingly enough, with a mixture of vinegar and water, which is amazingly effective. It's a disinfectant in cleaning, and it's much less abrasive than a lot of the commercial cleaners that get used. We also try and take advantage of other kinds of green and recyclable materials in everything that we purchase. And perhaps another thing we started recently as a result of a service that is offered here by a number of companies in Vermont, we can actually compost all of our food waste. And unfortunately, we do have a bit of food waste here, being a B&B, serving a magnificent breakfast every morning. Not everything doesn't always get eaten. And there's always, of course, scrap from preparing breakfast. So in fact, we have a company that provides us with recycling bins for compost. We fill these up and they get taken every month and used for chicken feed and then for fertilizer and so on for farmers. So we try and do everything we can to minimize our energy footprint and minimize the imprint in terms of the various bits of material and food and so on that we have to buy to run the B&B.
It's pretty cool. And I guess it's probably fairly easy, you know, in terms of what your suggestion would be to other innkeepers to try to transition into more of the green approach. It's probably more just a matter of learning what to do and just doing it. It's probably not too difficult, is it?
Well, it takes a bit of organization and thinking through for sure. But I think the interesting thing is that in general, it's a good business investment as well. Our solar hot water system was something that I can't remember the exact number, but I think the payback was about 3 years in terms of the propane offset, because we heat here everything water and space heating with propane. The solar panels, I think, with, of course, there's some significant subsidies that are available to go solar in Vermont, both in terms of the Green Mountain Power incentives as well as the federal tax credit. And that was a payback of about 7 or 8 years. And while it sounds a long time, that's like investing money in the bank at 12 or 13%. It's not something you can easily get that kind of return on in other ways. Mm-hmm. Certainly the rest of it, I think, is just good housekeeping practices. Well, having someone to pick up our compost does actually cost us money every month. There are, in fact, laws here in Vermont that are being phased in that will require us to do that very soon in any event. So it's good that we've got things organized and our process in place and to do that ahead of time. But I would say overall, everything we do, number one, a good business investment. Number two is either guest neutral or guest positive. And in that latter aspect, one of the things that a lot of our guests are interested in is, in fact, what we are doing, particularly on solar. A lot of people are thinking about solar power, and I just love talking about it, given my engineering background, about how we've done it, about some of the other ways that it can be done, about the fact that it does have a fairly short-term payback. So we spend quite a bit of time at breakfast. If guests are interested, I try not to bore them if they're not, with what's happening there. And of course, my personal passion, which is electric cars, that's another aspect of our green approach. Our company car is a Tesla Model 3, which is an amazing piece of equipment. And of course, it's technically solar powered as well, because it's charged mainly here at the B&B from our solar powered electricity.
That's pretty cool. And you are what, a net producer, or at least not a net consumer? I guess there are different times of the year we're using more or storing more, but ultimately throughout
It's on average, that's correct. We don't actually store any electricity here. We basically get a credit in the summertime when we produce the extra electricity, which we then get an offset for the electricity we use in the winter when we don't generate as much power as we need. And it's referred to here as net metering. So we basically end up paying for the net cost. And the idea is to design the capacity so it gets as close to being a perfect offset as possible.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. And Matt, you got any other questions?
Yeah. Should we talk a little bit about Peter's involvement in countering unlicensed short-term rentals? Should we touch on that before we wrap?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Be happy to talk about that. That's certainly one of the areas that I've been involved in at the state level. And I think it's important that I make it clear that in everything that we're doing at the state level and things that we're doing personally and also through the Vermont State Association of B&Bs, which is called VIBA, the Vermont Inns and B&Bs Association. And what we're trying to do is level the playing field. We're not trying to stop people doing whatever they want to offer short-term rentals. But one of the things that's happened as a result of the ease of being able to make properties available for short-term rentals through some of the new online platforms is that people have entered into that process of offering their properties for rent without following the same rules that those of us that are established licensed properties follow. And these rules are important because they ensure the health and safety of our guests by ensuring that we have annual health inspections, by ensuring that we have fire marshal approval in terms of appropriate fire suppression and egress, to ensure that we have commercial insurance if something does go wrong, that guests can be assured that they can get adequately compensated. But in addition, it's a taxation thing. We all have to pay taxes as innkeepers. And if you're flying below the radar, you don't have the costs I just mentioned, but in addition, you don't have the taxes, and therefore you can be perceived to be much more competitive. So we've just been asking the state of Vermont to come up with rules and regulations, or enforcement of, in fact, existing rules and regulations in a sensible way to ensure that there's a level playing field and that everyone that's offering accommodation for the short term is offering it on more or less the same basis with the same requirements in terms of safety and the same requirements in terms of paying the appropriate taxes to Vermont. And some progress has been made in that area. It's not without its controversy. There are certainly some people that think following the rules is onerous and that they should be allowed to do what they want with their own home property. But I think that one of the messages we get out is that for everything you do professionally in any state, there are rules and regulations, whether you're a doctor, a dentist, an air conditioning installer. You know, there are state rules and regulations you have to follow, and it's the same with renting out your property, and we just want to ensure that is applied consistently.
That's excellent. Steve, any follow-on questions on that one?
We've done a fair amount of talking about this to other innkeepers in other areas, and I mean, that seems to be, the level playing field seems to be the main theme, you know, and so far, I guess my only question would be, how would you compare, how far along are you with the legislation that's been passed, and how might it compare to some of the other more, I guess, notable areas like Baltimore just recently passed legislation. I think San Francisco, I think that might have been based more upon San Francisco. So where are you in the process and how would you describe the approach?
Well, certainly one of the things that is very useful is the sharing of information through the AIHP, the Association of Independent Hospitality Professionals, which is a conference that you're well aware of, which I was at in Cincinnati in late March. And the Baltimore story specifically was shared there. And I think it's seen probably as one of the best practices in terms of the legislation recently. And so we're all aware of that. We're sharing that, you know, state to state so that legislators are aware of that. Each state has its own particular issues and challenges to deal with. But certainly, I think sharing information that's happened there, Virginia has done some good things. Massachusetts has just done some good things as well. So these are all, I think, gradually getting better known. So I would say Vermont is not at the leading edge in terms of what we'd like to see, but certainly it's addressed a taxation issue. Our state rooms and meals tax now is typically enforced, although not perhaps 100%, but much better than it was 2 years ago. The issue of health inspections is being managed, I think, in a sensible way, but we'd certainly like to see more progress there. But one of the other elements, which is perhaps an issue more in the cities than it is here in the country, although I think we're facing it everywhere, which is also talked about relative to short-term rentals. And this is an issue, for example, New York and San Francisco have really gone after in a big way, is where investors buy properties which were intended to be apartment rentals, as in long-term, and turn them into basically unlicensed hotels. And the big concern there is not only is it illegal, but it's also taking economical rental property off the market. And it certainly is being discussed here in Vermont that it's a problem. Certainly, we believe in Burlington, Montpelier, probably to some extent out here in the Madera Valley, where properties that were previously available to renters as their primary accommodation have now been taken off that market and being rented by the night or by the week to short-term rentals. And that is another concern that needs to be addressed and is one of the other things that's being addressed from the point of view of legislation in some areas, although not yet here in Vermont.
Great. Interesting. All right. All right.
Yeah.
Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I was just going to say, Steve, I think we're at our usual anything else to add question, unless you, Steve, have anything else to add before I ask that to Peter.
I'm usually not adding much value to these discussions. I might ask a question, but that's about it. But no, I don't have any other questions that come to mind. So.
Let me chip in with a bit of Vermont trivia. People often think there are only four seasons in the year, but in Vermont, we have six. And right now we're in one of those additional seasons and it's referred to locally as mud season. And this is a time of year when the temperatures are getting warmer, the frost is coming out of the ground, the snow is melting and running off. And so it is muddy. And so that's one of the interesting challenges we have, which sometimes can last for a week, sometimes it can last for a month. It just depends on the temperature transition. And the sort of quick tip, insider tip, is if you're planning to visit Vermont, late April, early May is probably not the best time to come. So just to let you know. And as a testament to that, we are currently empty. The other season is in November, and it's referred to as stick season. And that is a season of the year when all the leaves have fallen off the trees, which typically happens towards the middle to the end of October after our gorgeous foliage season, which really is a season as well, if you like. It's also known as fall, but we call it fall foliage here in Vermont. It's the most spectacular time of year. But in November, all the leaves are off the trees. Typically, we don't get snow that stays in the ground until late November, sometimes early December. And it's usually dry. And it's a great time of year to be out and about and exploring because it's quiet. Not a lot of people come in November. It's, as I said, it's usually dry. With the leaves off the trees, the views are quite spectacular. You can see almost forever if you're off hiking or just driving around. You actually see a lot of things at that time of year that you wouldn't see in the summer. So it's a neat time to be here. And we do have guests that come in November and enjoy it. And then, of course, starting Thanksgiving onwards, we're back into ski season again.
And did you say that, so November, did you call it the stick season?
Yeah, stick. So the trees are sticks, no leaves, just sticks.
Ah, okay. So mud season in April into May and stick season in November.
Exactly. And so
I didn't
avoid
know that.
Mud season, Matt, avoid mud season, but enjoy stick season.
Yeah, Matt, I definitely know of mud season for sure, but I'd never heard stick season, but it certainly is stick season down here in Manchester as well. But yeah, mud season, Steve, everybody's cars are just a wreck because most roads are dirt roads, essentially, except for like the main kind of roads in town and probably through the valley up by Peter. But yeah, we are knee deep in mud season right now.
Yeah, Vermont has more miles of dirt road than surface road. As Matt said, most of the main roads are surfaced, but you don't have to go far off the main road to find a nice gravel road. One of the ways to get into the Madera Valley from the east is over what's called the Roxbury Gap, which comes from the town of Roxbury, but also from Northfield, which is just up beside it. And it gets really muddy. And in fact, the town of Roxbury has just officially closed it for the next 3 weeks because it can just get destroyed if people try and drive over it in the mud. So that road is closed. Wow. Happens every so often, not every year, but if we get a particularly muddy mud season, the road just has to be closed. And it makes it a little bit tough for people that live in Roxbury and work in the valley and have to take a longer way around.
Wow. Interesting. Pretty cool.
Yeah, just one of the neat things about Vermont. The seasons perhaps have more of an impact on us here than they do in the big city.
I would agree with that for sure. That's for sure. Well, good. Well, I think that's just about a wrap if there's anything else to add. Otherwise, I'll do the usual outro, gentlemen.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thanks. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Likewise, Peter, and thank you so much. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Frictionless Innkeeper podcast interview with Peter McLaren, who's the owner and operator of the West Hill House B&B in Warren, Vermont. And as you heard, Peter was kind enough to share his innkeeper story, more about how he and his wife, Susan, were named Innkeeper of the Year by the Vermont Chamber of Commerce, his approach to pleasing guests, and much more. And we really hope you enjoyed this episode of the Frictionless Innkeeper podcast brought to you by the Frictionless Guest app. If you wish to learn more, please visit frictionlessguest.com. Once again, that's frictionlessguest.com.